Hi, and welcome to episode 90 of the Awesome Comics Podcast, the place where small press and indie comics make one hell of a big noise. I'm Vince Hunt, creator of The Red Mask from Mars, and joining me for this week's journey into the world of indie comics are the creator of the kick-ass British superhero webcomic Vanguard, Dan Butcher.
Hello, I'm back, yes.
Hey!
And writer, Down the Tubes Rambler, and Le Grand Fromage au Jambon, it's Tony Esmond.
Right.
how are we this week, gents?
I thought you were going to go with Hater of Cats. I was sure you were going to say that this week.
Nope.
Yeah.
Nope. Okay. Le Havre au chat. As you can tell, I'm fluent in bollocks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Dan, how are you? How are you
feeling?
Fine,
yeah, all good. Great.
Yeah.
Back on form.
Did it clear up?
Cleared up, yeah. I managed to push it all up, and it was fine.
Pull it all out.
Beautiful. Did you use a stick?
No, it's best to go natural.
Oh, natural. Oh, what the hell's wrong with me and just talking, trying to talk in French? Yeah.
It's literally just started since we've started recording. Like, I mean, yeah. Before then, nothing.
I'm finding it quite arousing.
Oh, oui, oui, pour vous.
Mm. Oh, my God. What's happening?
Le grand petit pois. But it's good to have you back, Dan.
It's good to be back. It was a really good show last week. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you very much.
The panel was fantastic.
Yeah, they were both good, weren't they?
And Dan was great, yeah.
Yeah.
He sounds like an absolute... sounds like going to be a great convention.
Yeah, it does. It really does, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
And we're in the middle of sorting out our panel for it, aren't we? I think
we are indeed. Yeah, Leamington Comic Con, which is this Saturday. Saturday the 25th.
It's come around, isn't it?
Yeah, we're going to be out in public. God. God help us all. No, it's going to be a great day, though. And, yeah, we're thoroughly looking forward to it. So the next time you hear us, we'll probably be talking about how the day went. And
I wonder if they're going to record the panel. I don't know. I can't remember what they said now.
They may do.
We don't know who we're doing it with yet, do we?
We've got... Don't give all the... Don't... Oh, you'd be shit in the magic circle, wouldn't you? Just give all the secrets away. Now,
Is that magic circle you made me go in once where I sort of had to go on my knees in the middle of a circle of men? Is that the same one?
So comics.
You kept shouting, it's magic time.
Yeah, smell of brine in those.
Actually, it was Chico time. Anyway, yes, Leamington's this Saturday. So next episode, we'll probably be talking about how tired we are and what a great day it was.
Complaining about how knackered we are. Yeah, we do that a bit, don't we?
And we're planning to get some audio from the show. We're actually trying to plan that this time.
So, that'd be fantastic.
There'll be another, I'm sure there'll be another Leamington special.
Because you guys were worried about the audio quality on the last one, and that came out really well.
Yes.
Yeah, it did actually. It sounded better than I thought. I didn't even know the geezer was recording it, to be fair.
Yeah.
And then he said, oh no, I've recorded it. It was quite a nice surprise.
Oh, you didn't even know where you were at the time, did you?
I'd never a clue. That's quite common for me.
Yeah.
But no one would have known. Yeah, so it's good. And with Leamington Comic Con in mind, we've got a bit of a special for you here.
Yeah.
Those who have been keeping tracks on the convention know that they put on a small press factor. It was last year, wasn't it? Yeah, 2016.
It ended in December, didn't it?
Yeah, lots of small press creators could submit their comics and videos. The video thing was it wasn't controversial, was it? But I know that certainly threw some people for a loop.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah,
that was interesting.
Dan explained why. Yeah, sorry, mate. Go on.
I said that was interesting listening to that on the show because I initially thought when Dan said, "Oh, the video thing put people off," and I was like, "Why do they do a video thing?" And then when Dan went on to explain the reasoning behind it, I go, "Yeah, that makes sense."
Yeah, I agree. Actually,
that makes sense.
Yeah.
Even though it isn't integral to making a comic, being a kind of a good front man or front woman, but
yes, front person.
Front person. In this instance, I think it's a good trait.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, he put me straight around it as well, actually, because I did wonder why that was. But when he explained it, it makes perfect sense. Definitely.
See, it helps when people come on the show because they are the only people that actually make perfect sense.
Yeah,
it's just nonsense. Yes, but the small press factor, the winners of that are our special guests this week. Without further ado, we did a little interview with them. So here it is for your listening pleasure. Here's the small press factor winners for 2017. Could you call it?
Or is it 2016? I might be 17, mightn't it? Because they won it this year, didn't they?
Yeah, so, yeah. 17, I'd say. It's for this con, isn't it?
Yeah.
They're all winners.
They're winners in our eyes.
So, nobody's a loser these days, are they? Let's face it.
No, apart from us. So here's the interview for your listening pleasure. Okay, this week we're joined by some very special guests, aren't we, Dan?
Yep.
Tony? No, it's not, yep, it's we not are. Just yes. us. We've got some very special guests.
They're proper the creators guests.
Proper guests. It's not just us talking nonsense. They're the creators behind the sci-fi Elvis comic. Yes, I said that correct. King Legacy. And they're the winners of the Small Press Factor 2017. It's our pleasure to welcome Jay and Liam Frettingham and David Jones to the show. Hello, gents.
Hello, guys.
Hello.
Nice pronunciation on our last name, by the way.
Nicely done.
It's the first time we've ever had three guests on at once.
This should really work out well, then.
This is going to be chaos and enjoyable chaos.
We're all super boring, so hopefully good one guess.
The thing is, we're just going to ask the question. It's up to you lads to fight amongst yourselves about answering it, so that's fine.
Yeah.
What we're going to do is have a quick game of rock, paper, scissors. Doesn't normally work out with three people, but
yeah, and it's also shit on the audio medium, isn't it?
We're breaking down barriers.
Yes, but to kick us off, for those that don't know about King Legacy, and any one of you can answer this one, tell us a little bit more about the actual story and what it is.
What we normally tell people is, have you ever wondered what would have happened if the King of Rock and Roll had not actually died in the 70s, but had instead been abducted by a race of peaceful aliens in order to lead an intergalactic war against a group of evil aliens?
And breathe. I've wondered that many times.
Often.
Don't worry. You don't have to. Man.
Yeah, we've done it.
We've created it for you. It all started to.
I was worrying about that someone might not do that. Yeah.
So this is like a big, epic sci-fi story with Elvis Presley at the centre of it. How on earth did this come to be?
Well, you say that name. At no point do we ever name him as such, because I think we've been fraud a lawsuit from Graceland.
Interesting, yeah.
Is that a thing, then? You know, were you actually sort of very conscious of that?
Did you? Yeah, pretty much. We weren't quite sure where we stood at a legal standpoint, I don't think. So, yeah, we never referred to him as anything other than the King, really.
Okay, to be honest, I thought it was Johnny Bravo we were doing a Comic-Con about.
I guess this would fall under parody, wouldn't it? But yeah, like you say, you didn't want to chance it.
No.
Yeah, and it was our first one and we didn't really know what the rules were with anything. Yeah. So
we still don't.
Yeah, you have literally sort of just jumped in the deep end, haven't you?
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, definitely.
So, with that in mind, what on earth made you do this?
You know what? It was actually me and Liam just sitting in his bedroom one day, and we just talk nonsense continually. And I just had a picture in my head of the King holding an alien's head. It was really violent, and like blood dripping down his arm, and he's like holding it up to like this crowd of cheering aliens. And we told Dave, and he liked it.
Oh, cool.
So, did you start making the comic before the Small Press Factor, or?
Yes. Did.
Well, this is quite a long time in the making. Like, I actually wrote it about, 6 years ago, something like that?
Yeah, I'm really, really slow at drawing.
Well, we can all understand that. I think lots of creators out there can totally understand where you're coming from there. So, when you say you wrote it, what, you wrote issue one, or you wrote several issues in one?
No, this is one of six, basically. I've written a complete story, it's all planned out. So, like, there's things in the first issue that we come back to in the last issue, and yeah, it was awesome.
There's a lot of callbacks, isn't there?
Yeah.
Oh, so it's all planned out then, bloody hell. So, after that, what finally, I mean, it can't have taken you 6 years to do, like, one issue. Shortly.
Well, not well, it says you.
It takes me fucking ages to do anything.
Just shit all over us.
No, I didn't mean it like that.
yeah.
And in King Legacy, they're awesome, but we're rubbish.
What
I mean is, it is a long process, isn't it? But like when you start drawing, you build up a rhythm, don't you? And it speeds up a bit to the end. So
it does. We kind of probably did the last sort of 6 or 7 pages in about a month, getting ready. But yeah, it was to begin with. We just took so long because we were still figuring it all out, I guess. Mm. We've never done anything like this before. Like Jay said, it's just sort of mates, you know, coming up with ideas and drawing them. So yeah.
Plus we're all like full-time jobs, and yeah. Dave went to uni for years, and I've got 2 young boys, and
I have a cat.
What, locked in the basement or children, do you mean?
My robots. Oh, that was not going to make sense.
Did you go to anyone to get advice or anything like that, guys, or
Yeah. Well, it's weird. We kind of finished drawing it in pencil and obviously drawing pencil. For all you people who don't know how to draw comics.
pencil. Normally use pencil.
But we actually went and saw a guy called Mike Garley.
Yep. Yeah, oh, Mike, yes. He's at Leamington, isn't he?
Yeah.
He was in Bournemouth, wasn't it?
Leamington?
Yeah. And
he was doing a talk.
So we just sort of took how big was it? It was like A5, something silly like that.
Yeah, we ran it off the company's photocopier at work.
Stapled it together and like handed it in to say, like, just give us some advice, what do you think about it?
And
he gave us some really good feedback, and we didn't take any of it on board, and we just went with what we wanted to do.
But, I mean, that in days gone by, that's quite common. It's good, like, that's what Ashcans were, weren't they? You know, these sort of try-out early comics, weren't they? I think that's a great idea for people. You don't see that as much these days, but I think people would value opinion on a small sort of homemade thing like that before going to press on it sometimes, you know?
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
He sort of, like, pushed us to do it, didn't he, really? He was like, you need to finish this sort of thing.
Yeah, there was, like, a small press day in Bournemouth, and he was like, do you want to do it? And we're like, well, we haven't even printed it yet. It's not even coloured. It's like, that's what pushed us, like, in that last month just to get it finished, basically. Yeah.
Are you, were you all big Elvis fans, or where did that come from?
You know what? I mean, everybody knows the songs, but it's literally just from that idea him being abducted by aliens, because it's the telltale story, isn't it? But
a visual person, isn't he, Elvis?
Exactly.
Yeah.
He also had that weird story. You know, there was always someone who used to tell you, oh no, he was like a triple black belt or something, wasn't there? And he was probably just one of these guys who was given a black belt because he was famous. You know, is that true?
That is true. Yeah, he was given an honorary taekwondo black belt.
Right.
He didn't know squat. So
yeah.
Random Elvis trivia I do know.
I've heard Van Damme's
I reckon. And he combined sort of kung fu moves in with his dance moves occasionally, didn't he?
Yeah.
Did that whole punching, kicking thing, didn't he, as part of it?
It's sort of going to come into it in, I don't know.
The later issues.
Yeah, like issue 3, I think it might be.
Right.
Maybe. Like, there's a pose. It's like an iconic pose. And
yeah.
We have, like, done research and just, like, tried to make it as close as possible, I guess.
And that's fun, yeah. And I like the fact that his armour has got like a quiff section as well.
We were quite happy with that bit.
You don't want a helmet, do you?
Yeah. I like the design that there's a crown on his sort of chest plate as well. I quite like that.
Nice and simple design as well.
Yeah.
And he is pretty much.
Yeah.
Took years to come up.
First 5 years.
I was going to ask about the cover actually, which is that's quite a prominent thing on the cover. In fact, it's the only thing in that colour, isn't it, on the cover?
Yeah,
it is. Did you consciously decide just to hint at who he was and not show who he was on the cover?
Yeah, exactly. Because it's like if you go to page 4, it's like kind of like the big reveal. You sort of turn the page and it's like, oh, it's the king walking through a portal. So it's more of a
everyday character.
Yeah. So we didn't want to give it too much away, but enough away that is. Still looks cool.
Kind of that's a big splash page, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So did you guys know each other before putting the comic together, or?
Yeah, we kind of met Liam when he was born.
I don't remember it, but.
Yeah. me and Dave worked together about 12 years ago, just unloading lorries and just talked comics like continually.
Yeah, became pretty good friends quite quickly.
Yeah.
So. Awesome, because I know you quote Invincible, don't you, Dave, as an influence.
Yes, definitely. Right?
What other sort of artistic influences did you have going into this? Is anyone you look to think, oh, that's how I want it to look and feel?
A lot of mine, it's mainly American stuff. I quite like sort of Ed McGuinness.
You
know, Batman, Superman stuff. Loved all of his early stuff. Dave Johnson, the Reverend Dave Johnson.
Some great stuff, doesn't he? Love his stuff.
Some of the best comic book covers ever. I love his sense of design.
Yeah. Oh, it's brilliant. I remember reading an interview with him, and he said that if you can't work it out in the first couple of seconds, then he's got it wrong, sort of thing. It's like billboard advertising.
Yeah. He's got a good beard as well.
He has got a good beard, yeah.
Yeah,
everyone's got a beard except me. It's because you're the weak link.
Don't worry, Dan Butcher hasn't got a beard. You can't grow one, can you, Dan?
No.
It's embarrassing.
My only fault.
So from the start of it, it was a long journey to issue one, but now you've got issue one up and running. How have you found sort of getting the comic out there and promoting it and, like, you know, making connections with the other creators and stuff? How have you found it all?
It's quite a tough one, actually. But it's literally through Mike Garley, first time we've met. Yeah. Dobie? Sean Dobie.
Him.
Yeah, so I talk to him a little bit every now and then. But, yeah, it's literally just through him, and he's introduced us to a few people. He actually got us to send this off to the competition as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he brought it to attention, which was cool. And then,
Dark Horse, isn't he?
He's out quite a lot. Yeah, and then obviously Spartown's been like pushing us like crazy, and we're like, it's so exciting.
Yeah, it's awesome. That's good, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah.
So, are you ready for the convention?
I'm so excited for it.
Have you got a banner done and all that sort of thing, guys? Have you all got your table ready and all that blah? Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. We got a banner done for the. We've only been to two Comic Cons before, but we wanted to do it proper. And we got
which ones have you been to then?
We did
Southampton Comic Con, didn't we?
And then just Eastleigh Comic Con. Literally two, like, the most we're local. Southampton, the most local Comic Cons we could find, just to get a feel, basically.
Dip our toe on it.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
How did you find those shows? Because, like, we talk about a lot of conventions on this show, but we haven't really heard much about those. How were they?
Oh, they were good.
Yeah, I really enjoyed Southampton.
Yeah, Southampton.
It was our first one.
Treated well.
Yeah.
So, loved
it. Was it the sort of show that had a lot of, like, celebrity guests, or was there a decent amount of comics as well?
There was only us and
Mike Garley for the Southampton one again.
He gets everywhere, that boy.
Yeah, he is. Yeah.
He's a comic slut.
He's got that on his business card.
He's everywhere. Of course he's listening. Yeah. He's probably behind
you. But yeah, there was a couple of... I think there was somebody from the Dead... Judge Dredd movie.
Yeah,
and a couple of, like, more like, I'm going to be honest, Car Booty.
Yeah.
That's and the next thing, setting up a car boot sale. Oh, that's where we go.
Yeah.
Comics car boot sales. Oh, that would be good, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Actually, yeah.
I can't believe you're giving away ideas like this.
Too late. Yeah, that's how we'll
So how are you finding the marketing side, guys? Is it something you've sat down and planned out, or are you just sort of feeling your way through it, or what have you done so far around it?
Just falling through it, really.
We're on Facebook, and it's like pretty much word of mouth at the moment. We don't really.
Online store or anything like that so far, or
nothing at the moment.
No, people keep asking if it's online or not, and yeah, I don't even know how to put PDFs together.
You are literally newborns, aren't you?
Kicking and screaming.
To be fair, putting it on Comixology isn't much of a chore. Yeah. You would have to put a PDF together.
Yeah, once you've got a PDF, you know, you can... digital's just at your fingertips, isn't it, Dan?
Yeah.
I did look into doing that Comixology, or whatever it is. Yeah.
Comixology?
Yeah, Comixology,
yeah. The only thing you got to be prepared for with that... what are we teaching them? when you submit it, there is like a few months. If it's the first comic you've submitted to them, then it is a bit of a few months wait while they to sort of process.
Yeah, the first issue, they reckon, don't they?
Yeah.
I think as well, if you go to, there's a great comics website called X Hamster, and they're really good.
X Hamster. I'm not writing that down.
No,
I might. That's on
this morning. Yeah. Googling it right now.
That's where I discovered Vince's magic circle.
Not now. not here, Tony. Not now. Not like this. So you've got some great sort of splash pages in this.
Definitely. They're my favourite bits. Yeah.
When you were sort of writing those, what were your ideas for the sort of these alien species? Without giving too much away, there's giant creatures that Elvis has just thrust in, you know, sees in front of him. What were your influences for the alien species, etc.?
It was kind of like insects, like cockroaches or like locusts, and it's kind of like we made that reference the other day, like Bug's Life, isn't it? Like where they coil like the ants and the tar, they're going to be like the locusts type thing.
The story's a bit similar as well, but don't read too much into it.
So, is this a Bug's Life with Elvis?
Exactly. What,
that shift.
Oh, that's the only way you can improve on it, surely.
Yeah. I think you used, what did you do? Like three splash pages, was it in the issue? I think you've got. So you overuse them, which I really like, guys, as well, you know? And the second one is my favourite. The, you can't give it away, but where he's presented with, you know, this sort of hulking creature. Really nicely done. That's my favourite page, I think. Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. I like the little, there's like little things hiding as well. You can always pick out something new in it. That's what I quite like.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Kind of went for a War of the Worlds sort of vibe.
Yes,
on that.
Very much so. That's what I was feeling. Yeah, very much so. And then there is a page later on, which I can't possibly give out, which had a real sort of John Byrne feel to it. You know, where you're sort of looking up through the buildings.
That's my favourite page.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I got very lucky on that one. Sometimes work just sort of, you know, it draws itself very rarely. Very rarely.
If only.
That just sort of worked.
Was that your choice, Dave, to do in the splash pages, or was that part of the script? Or
no, part of the script. Yeah, it's Jay. He really does sort of have a kind of a vision. There's a certain amount of freedom. You know, very often we'll sort of combine panels if I can't be bothered to draw more. Or I mean, issue two is pretty much going to be all splash pages, I think.
Yeah, just one big fold out.
Yeah. It's going to be like a map.
Did the expenses spring for you to go all the way to Las Vegas to draw it? Is that just got it out of the kitty pot sort of thing and went down there?
Yeah. He remortgaged the house and just sent me away for 2 weeks. Brilliant.
I mean, one thing
Google's your friend in the modern day, isn't it?
Yeah,
I think you're right.
God, yeah. Especially when it comes to like research or reference or concepts or things like that. And with that in mind, I mean, you've got essentially a warring faction of like two alien species here. Let's just push Elvis to the side for 1 second. And the alien species, you can clearly see from this first issue that there's a world and there's a background and there's definite thought to what's going on. So when you were creating this, did you have loads of notes of what the backstory was and, you know, the history of these civilizations before writing it? Or did you just plow straight into it and hope for the best, which I know.
It's kind of a bit of both. A lot of the stuff has happened kind of by accident, but it really works. But we did. There's a timeline that we've actually made notes on, and just like references to go back to, and
I've got a couple of folders purely of just sort of sketches. I very rarely sort of draw the finished thing straight away. I'll sketch and draw, and then chuck it in Photoshop to shrink it or enlarge it and get it on the panels how I want them. I've got so much paperwork.
That's similar to how you work, isn't it, Dan?
It is, yeah. I pretty much work the same way. Don't work completed pages. Do like elements of panels and then put them together and kind of play around with it.
I think it puts
more time on the... adds time to it because you can be fucking around for ages trying to get something right, and then if you did it like as a page, you might be able to see the kind of composition a little bit. I guess it's got plus and minuses.
That's it.
Likewise, if you're struggling with a page or a panel, you can skip.
Yeah.
To the next page.
Yeah. I think I probably drew the first four pages about 8 times each. Just to
really?
Get it.
Okay. Really?
Yeah, yeah. Back in the day. Back in 2010, whenever it was.
Time flies so when you're making comics, though.
Careful to keep the kind of style consistent from when you first start drawing it to the final page.
There is definitely a point where I've noticed where his style just clicks and it just slows really nicely.
Yeah, it's a lot cleaner.
Thanks.
the first ones look like a kid had just scribbled crayon.
Good job.
I think
it's the same for a lot of comic creators. I mean, certainly my first issue's wildly different. Well, I wouldn't say necessarily wildly different. I was trying to keep it similar to the second one, but by then I had found the rhythm of drawing it. I knew how characters flowed and moved and looked and stuff. I would say it normally takes about 10, what would you say, Dan, 10 pages
before you I'll let you know when I do it.
See, I always took confidence from it, because if you look at the old or earlier, like Walking Dead stuff where Charlie Adlard first came on, it's very different from what he does now.
Yeah, definitely.
I always felt I wasn't really doing anything wrong if sort of, you know, the big professionals were doing it too.
I think
it definitely clicks in, and I don't mean that in a bad way. I can just see, I can see you growing as a creator, but it doesn't necessarily mean the first couple of pages are bad. They're not, you know.
Exactly.
It definitely clicks in. I would say 5 or 6 pages in, and then then you blow people away with that big splash page. And I think it, from there on, it's just gravy, isn't it? You know, to me.
Yeah. Definitely.
You know. Yeah, definitely.
And it's only going to get better and better.
Yeah. Yeah, we only improve, don't we, with everything we do. But did you research any movies? There's a great movie, I think, with Kevin Costner and Kurt Russell in. Is it 3,000 Miles to Graceland?
Shut up,
like that?
Tony. That's shit.
I love that film.
That's awful. I really wanted to like that film, but it's not good. It's just not good.
You're a big Kurt Russell fan, aren't you?
I am.
I'm a big Costner fan. He's very good as well, isn't it? Yeah. Who's the weird little bloke from Mr. Robot? What's his name? Who was in True Romance?
Christian Slater,
isn't it, as well, isn't he? Yeah.
I've never heard him described as the weird little bloke.
Elvis is in True Romance as well.
Yes, very true. Yeah, he is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Played by.
I've never seen any of these movies.
No. Oh, you've got to watch True Romance. Played by Val Kilmer.
Yeah. Exactly. Very well done.
But you've never seen that film?
I think the only one we've really seen, or I've seen at least, is Bubba Hotep.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
That's good.
So a very strange one where he's
weird.
Up against a mummy, isn't it? Something like that.
Yeah. That was
Bruce Campbell.
Yeah.
That's him.
Yeah. So even though this book has Elvis in it, you didn't go out of your way to, you know,
find out about him.
Wikipedia. I love Wikipedia.
It's quite boring. He's got quite a long Wikipedia page. I got a bit bored with the reading.
Yeah. But also, like, sometimes it's best to stay away from certain things, isn't it? Because then it can influence the creation process. Does that make sense?
Exactly, yeah. I mean, as far as I know, Elvis didn't actually get abducted by aliens, so we don't know how he... No. As far as you know. Yeah.
This might be an autobiographical comic. We don't know. We just don't.
So, yeah, we sort of... Yeah.
Can you imagine if we got it right?
Yeah.
How cool would that be?
It'll be more than Graceland coming for you, if that's the case. Yeah.
It's more than 3,000 miles to Graceland. It's going. So what's the plan for issue 2, guys?
To get it done. No.
Yeah.
It starts with the fight.
It's kind of the flashback, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the continuation of the flashback.
Yeah, but then, because we've kind of got two stories going at the same time, sort of what happened in the past when he was abducted and what's happening now in the present that he's back.
Right,
we're looking to sort of tie it all together later.
And this is I'm guessing that the modern story is more to do with Liam, who's the cover star and sort of a janitor that's thrust into this world.
Yeah, for me he's kind of the main character.
Yeah,
it's really weird, but you see everything through his eyes initially, like, so yeah.
Does he become an even bigger part of it as it goes on then?
Right. Yeah. Yeah, he goes everywhere with the king.
We've got plans for him, haven't we?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. And what a lovely name he's got.
Well, you're going to be biased, aren't you?
I'm guessing that none of you are old enough to remember him, Elvis.
Not personally.
Have any of your like parents or any Elvis fans seen this and gone, oh, I like Elvis, I'll have a look at that? Because you could open up a whole new marketplace, couldn't you?
Exactly, yeah. People at my work are like, oh, I really like Elvis. You like Elvis? You should like this comic. Someone sell it.
Someone said it at Easley Comic Con as well. They bought it just because it was okay. Elvis. Yeah.
Brilliant.
I think that is a definite marketing sort of thing you can go for.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah,
because there's been quite a few comics in the past that got sort of Elvis. In a, what was it? I've read The King Must Die. What's that other one? Is it just
What's the one by... yeah, I know the one you mean. Mm. Top Shelf put out one, didn't they? Yeah. I can't think of the name of it.
Yeah.
So I think it's a really original title then.
Well, I don't think any of them have like got the science fiction warring aliens in it. Yeah. You're clearly a big sci-fi fan, so what science fiction sort of influences were fed into this? Because I can see that there's maybe quite a lot of movies and stuff that influenced you.
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to be honest. I'm not that into science fiction. It's really weird. You're supposed to write what you know. And I don't really know it that much. I mean, obviously, I quite like Star Wars. I like the end with Simon Pegg.
Okay.
Yes, yeah. You've counted like Spaced and Shaun of
the
Dead and stuff.
Yeah, all that sort of thing. It's more the humour that I get and...
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't really...
There's obviously the Star Trek...
Yeah, Star Trek references and stuff.
Like,
the Hollow Chamber. Not two spoils.
Teleporting stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know. Terminator in a weird way because of the time travel, I guess, but, you know, not so killy deathy.
And you got the War of the Worlds, haven't you? Yeah.
Killy deathy.
Oh, I'm using that from now on. Yeah. But I think, you know, if that's the case, and it sometimes. A good story, you just need to write it, doesn't it? You don't, you know. I mean, I'm a big horror fan, and I always thought that a horror book would be the first thing I wrote. But mine was a big science fiction thing, like all about aliens, which I didn't necessarily want to write about. it's funny where comics take you, isn't it? Really?
Yeah,
definitely.
Mm. Yeah, definitely.
So, how do you feel you're coping since the first issue's come out? And like, I know a lot of us, as soon as you jump into the pool of small press and self-publishing, it can be daunting and also quite amazing at the same time.
Yeah, I was ready. Like when we won the competition, I was like, I'm quitting my job. This is my new job.
Yeah.
Steady on there. Steady on.
Yeah, exactly. Bring it in.
So, have you got any special plans? Have you got any special plans to sell it in any way? Have you got like? Prints, or have you've got, I think you've had a banner done and all that sort of thing for Lemington, have you? You know,
yeah, we've got the banner.
The banner. We'll just use the same old banner because it's quite generic. It's
any sort of Elvis cosplayers. I know you can get paid for Elvis impressionists, can't you? Yeah, I went to an Elvis karaoke once. That was quite fun.
Nice.
I've got an Elvis onesie. Elvis, Tony. What's a paper Elvis?
Sorry, karaoke Elvis.
Did you say paper Elvis? Elvis.
No.
Or
did you
say pay? What are you talking about?
So you can pay for an Elvis, like a karaoke.
I said a paper Elvis. I thought, what is it?
Origami.
Origami Elvis. Hey, you can sell that
one. I sang Burning Love. That was my favourite.
It's also your motto.
Yeah.
So is there a...
That's all about chlamydia. Yeah.
What kind of lessons have you learned from doing the first one?
Yeah.
Our friendship probably isn't as strong as we thought it was.
And remember, listeners, two of them are brothers.
Were brothers.
Yeah, there were three.
I personally learnt how to colour during the first one, during the first issue. So
good
that,
school
right,
ahead as a colourist.
Yeah, so that.
We started with paint.
Yeah.
So you had not coloured anything before then? So.
No, nothing.
No. Oh, wow, okay.
Well, yeah. Basically...
makes you sick, doesn't it?
Liam was like... When we were like coming up with the ideas and stuff, Liam was like a massive part of that. I used to love bouncing ideas off him and Dave, obviously. So I wanted to keep him involved. big time.
Yeah.
And he was always good on paint. I know it sounds really like primitive and stuff, but we used to do stuff on paint all the time, like create characters and just make random stuff on paint. And he was good on that.
So when he upgraded to Photoshop, he was flying.
It's insane.
Oh, nice one.
What I like about the colours is it's quite sort of block colours, you know, you don't overdo it or try to do sort of gradient textures with skin and stuff, because I find like when people try to use a soft brushy feel for some colours, it really doesn't work, whereas you've got nice sort of shading and you've got some lovely lighting effects in this comic, you know, because it is a colourful, bright science fiction comic, which is good.
It wouldn't fit the style.
That's it. I don't want to, like, if the style of it is really cartoony, so I don't want to try and make it like, I don't want to do too much with it at all. I just wanted to, nice and simple, like Invincible sort of thing. Early Invincible was really,
there was like, no shading, really, was it? It was literally just
block colours.
So you learnt colouring, but Jay, what have you learnt since beginning this?
Spell check is brilliant.
Actually, in terms of editing, what was your editing process for this?
We didn't really have it. We were sort of like, just before we were like, were putting it all like for print, I was like, we haven't had anybody else read it except for us three. And obviously, when you read it over and over again, I know what it's supposed to say, but it might not come across that way when somebody else reads it.
Yeah.
So I got my wife to read it once over, and Liam got his fiance to read it over a couple of times, and she sent some, like, maybe spelling errors and we just changed it up from there. So
I think it's crossed it apart.
Yeah, really, really demoralised me. But yeah,
one of the notes was I don't speak French.
But yeah, there was not really much editing, so hopefully it doesn't come across that way.
So you're comic fans. So what comics do you read then in your time?
I read loads. I'm reading like Daredevil, Jessica Jones, Moon Knight, Walking Dead, Lucifer, King Legacy, which is a favourite of mine.
Bit of self promo, shameless.
Invincible was another cool one. I think we bring it up quite a lot, but that one was quite heavily influenced by it. I loved it, basically.
Yeah, I think that's influenced. Dan, that's like your favourite.
Yeah, I'm a massive fan of that.
A lot of people quote Invincible these days as well, don't they? You know, it's a big favourite of people's.
Yes.
Okay. So you read a load of Marvel. So you're reading the sort of the street level Marvel stuff as well. So
I'm more of a DC fan, like Virgo. I love Lucifer. I think Lucifer at the moment is my favourite comic.
Okay. Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know what it is. I quite like the grittier side of Marvel instead of like the main Avengers and whatnot.
The Disney side.
Yeah, I don't like the Disney side.
Moonlight is astoundingly good, isn't it, at the moment. Absolutely amazing. Yeah,
I love the art to it as well.
Yeah, using like the three artists in one book thing was really working for it, I think, you know.
Yeah.
Who's working on that at the moment?
Oh, is it? You put me on the spot.
Is it
now,
Declan Shalvey, or is he not?
Frank Avila. No, he's gone. Frank Avila does a section of it. Humberstone. Oh, I can't remember. Can't off the top of my head. Remember? Sorry. But thanks for asking me anyway. Yeah.
What about the rest of you guys? What comics are you reading?
Well,
and
for
you
me,
can't say King Legacy.
Well,
yeah.
All right. Well, there is one I'm reading about a certain king that goes through time and aliens. I'm loving like Southern Bastards.
Oh yeah.
That's okay. A good book.
So that's a big favourite of mine at the minute. I'm liking Head Lopper as well.
Okay, that's good. Yeah,
going through that. I'm still keeping up with Walking Dead. That's about it, really. I'm a bit sort of discerning. My shelf's creaking with comics as it is. So I probably shouldn't add too many to them.
Yeah,
you can't say that. You
never know who's listening.
I'd just like to say that Greg Smallwood was the name I was trying to remember there. Greg Smallwood. Yeah,
did you
stuff.
Just look it up, Tony?
Yes, I did. Yep.
Right. Excellent.
I took my headphones off and looked it up. Yeah, there you go.
So I think it's interesting that you guys are picking quite gritty books that you're reading when King Legacy is such a sort of colourful science fiction you know, it's almost like a cartoon, isn't it? It's like a fantastic sort of animated Saturday morning kids cartoon.
Nice. Yeah, that's what I like as well.
That's what we still like.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's basically the sort of theme you're going for, and that's the crowd you're going for. So, like, when Leamington rolls up, you know, what are you going to do to get people to buy your winning comic? Are you going to have a sign saying "you're winners"?
I think people just be able to tell, surely.
Yeah. Champagne popping and all the blow on your table. Yeah, that sort of thing. Yeah.
I was thinking of wearing really tight trousers to sort of draw people. But
the lady.
Yeah.
Oh, my word.
Yeah, go for that. I think that'd be fine. Yeah.
It works for Tony, doesn't it?
Yep. Yeah. Oh, yeah. No trousers.
Better work. Please wear trousers.
Don't look under the table.
Don't look under the table. Never under the table. Yeah, but it's gonna be good though. So, you know, obviously, Small Press Factory aside, I mean, Leamington's full of like great creators and stuff. But and Garley's gonna be there. But are you planning to sort of? Are you all gonna be there?
Yeah,
we will. Yeah, definitely.
So there's always gonna be someone to man the table when the other two go off and leave them there for half an hour.
Yeah, yeah, I am planning on having a purchase up there as well.
Having a wander.
Yeah, definitely.
So you're taking your paper round money.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. My pocket money that my wife will let me have.
Yeah, that can get quite expensive at small press conventions, I find.
Have you guys had a chance to see any of the other entries for the small press
thing? No, I haven't. I haven't. I saw their videos.
Okay.
Right.
I haven't actually.
We kind of just did it and left it, didn't we? Didn't want to look. Didn't we?
Just sort of a campaign of hate against them.
That brings up a good point, actually, because obviously last week we talked about the Small Press Factor having the videos, like creators sending in videos, and you were obviously well up for it, and you did it. What did you think when you first got that? Sort of, you know, when you looked at it and thought, "Oh, we've got to send a video." What went through your mind?
I shit it a little bit.
We're not entering.
Yeah. We spent a fortune on makeup and stuff.
Comes across really well, yeah. Yeah.
I'm not even, like, there's no joke. I even wrote a bloody script for it.
It was a good little video, actually, guys. I've got to say, I watched it again the other day just in preparation for tonight. And it is well prepared video. You know, it's not like just someone sort of ranting, you know.
Exactly, we didn't want that at all because I wasn't very comfortable on camera. That's why we were wearing glasses as well.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah,
but yeah, I thought it was quite fun. I thought it was a bit different.
Good.
Well, we didn't want to bore anyone either with it.
Yeah, like, yeah. Keep it short, simple, and
yeah.
Well, it's essentially a visual pitch, isn't it? I mean, it's like Dan from Leamington said that, you know, if they can't come across well on a video, what are they going to be like when people come to their table?
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Now, what sort of exhibitors are you? Are you looking forward to talking with the smelly public?
I love it as long as they don't touch me.
Oh, that's us out, Tony.
That's the opposite of us.
Yeah.
Our very first one, I was so nervous because we have, like, it's all new to us. We don't know what to expect. But literally, as soon as we sat down, people were more nervous to talk to us than we are to them. So it sort of like made it a bit easier, I thought.
Make it till you make it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
How did sales go at the first couple of guys? Did they go well or?
Yeah, yeah, we sold three, didn't we?
Yeah.
Well done you. Well done you. One each.
I've still got mine too.
Always exaggerate the sale numbers. That's what we do.
Yeah. Yeah.
When everyone says how many do you sell, double it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, everyone will always say at a convention, I did really well. That's what everyone just sort of says across the board.
Yeah, yeah. And then secretly in the pub later, they say something else.
Yeah.
It's usually quite telling when they're wheeling home boxes of stock.
Yeah.
We did foolishly take a full 100 copies of our very first event. Yeah. We sold what was like six.
that was the
first couple of events. You're always going to take all your, you know, because you're still sort of figuring out. Like, maybe I don't need so much. And I've had it before where I've taken like a smaller number of comics to an event and I've put them out and just thought, oh, maybe, what if I haven't got enough comics? No, it's totally fine. I came back with more. I don't know
real
how.
Real confidence builder.
Are you staying over, guys, or are you just doing it in a day? Or you got a bit of a journey, haven't you? So
yeah, it's about 2 hours. But no, we're going to drive back.
Right.
Well, we one.
Yeah, I'll be driving.
Good.
One doing the pedals.
Driver. Yeah.
One doing the pedals.
Yeah. One the gear stick. One steering wheel.
Goodies on there on tricycle.
I don't want a lot of responsibility, so like I'll have like the windscreen wipers or something.
Yeah, that's how I live my life as well, just like, avoiding all responsibility. Yeah, good.
Yeah,
just turn them on and be done with it.
Yeah.
Get them back.
So, after this one, are you going to be looking into doing other conventions later in the year? What is the plan?
We have 4 planned this year so far. We're doing Portsmouth, which is another really local one, but we're doing Swindon as well.
Oh, okay.
You're
yeah.
going to be at Swindon?
Yeah.
Hopefully.
With tugboat.
Why'd you say it like that?
Well, because we were looking at the guest list and like tugboat, the WWF wrestler is going to be there.
Yeah.
is that why you're going?
He's big into his small press comics. So.
Yeah. Make him buy one. Put him in a headlock and he buys one.
Get a picture of him with it as well.
Yeah,
good idea. Trevor and Simon, get your 2 sales for the price of 1 there.
Yeah.
That's all right.
I'm really just going to get licked by one of the bushwhackers, I think.
just so you know, Tony, that's another WWF pair of wrestlers. Although when you're saying getting licked by a bushwhacker, can sound actually.
Back to last pretty... question.
The old bushwhackers look pretty fucking ancient back in the day. God knows how they are now.
Exactly, they ain't got much licking left in them, have they?
It's going to be really dry.
I'm gonna make a bet that George from George and Mildred probably might have met Elvis, so you might be able to sell him a fucking copy.
Perfect.
Yeah.
I think you should totally take advantage and try and get lots of people holding the comic. Yeah.
Friends of ours, Man vs. Rock, they if you ever look at their Facebook, they just get people who are slightly odd to hold their comic and then they take pictures of them. It does amuse me. Yeah.
You see some...
They're great.
Yeah, some odd cosplayers holding the Man vs. Rock issues. Never fails. Well, in terms of social media and stuff, then you've got a Facebook and a Twitter, have you?
Yep.
Yeah.
How active are you guys on there at the moment?
At the moment, it's a bit slow, I guess.
Twitter, we're rubbish at.
Facebook's better.
Facebook's a little bit better.
Normally, it's one or the other, isn't it? I usually find a lot of creators. Some creators are all about the Facebook, and some of them all about Twitter.
Yeah.
I mean, on the lead up to the cons and stuff, we were quite active. We've been more active like the last couple of weeks than we have been like the last like couple of months. We try to keep people interested, but there's not much happening.
All right, I get it. All right.
Are they breaking up on the show?
Oh, I hope so.
I'll get Liam in the divorce.
So obviously, I mean, what other conventions? You got Portsmouth and you got Swindon and you got Leamington. What's the other one?
It's one in Winchester, isn't it? Yeah. It's penciled in.
Yeah.
So that's like
another really, really local one for us. Really pushing it out.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the thing about conventions, they're all over the shop, but it is a long journey for a lot of them. I know, me and Dan, we have like a catchment area, don't we, Dan?
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of the ones that are good seem to be falling right outside my fucking area.
We kind of felt we'd probably be in a better position with issue 2. We've only got 1 issue out, so is it really worth traveling so long and doing so many?
A lot of money. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've not got that much to put into it, really.
No.
So, yeah. I mean, until we sort of start making some of it back.
Yeah. I think once we get issue 2 out, we'll try and push a little bit more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, another 5 years.
Yeah.
So, we're going to put you on the spot, right? issue one, the people at Leamington are going to pick, be able to pick up issue one there. Where, when are we going to see issue two?
I want it this year.
It will be this year.
I think it's going to be this year.
I'm aiming for September, if I'm totally honest.
Oh, good. Well, yeah, that's good. Nice.
That's good. That's cool. That's good timing. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Because you released issue one last year. I mean, at the moment with my comic, I'm doing one a year. So don't beat yourself up too much about the fact that making a full coloured comic takes a while, because it bloody well does. So September this year, we'll hold you to that.
Please don't.
Please do.
Pressure in.
Yeah, I'm gonna be all over your Facebook.
All over your what?
I'm going to be all over his Facebook. You heard what I said.
Oh, I didn't hear the bit where you said book.
Now that would be pressure.
I've just put on my calendar on my phone, King's Legacy issue 2, Saturday, yeah. Sunday, yeah. 3rd of September.
Yeah.
31st of September.
31st.
3 days under the
Yeah. You know it's serious when Dan Butcher puts it in his calendar on his phone.
Oh no.
There we go, 30th of September added.
I didn't know guys used calendars. I just thought that was
oh god,
right,
see you later.
Thanks for visiting.
My iPhone's like an extension of my brain. I don't know if I'd be able to operate in society if I didn't have that guiding me around.
Yeah. I've just got my iPhone to call me Batman. That's good. You know this Siri thing you can program it?
Yeah.
Nice.
Mine says, like it's 10:30 a.m. Batman. It's very exciting. Particularly cool with ladies at work, I find.
I'm going to change mine to My King.
Good idea. Yeah.
Oh, we're all mature on this show. So for anyone going to the convention next week then, what message do you have for the folks that are going to see you there with your lovely banner and all your comics and your are you going to cuddle people? Go on.
Yeah, why not?
I quite like a cuddle, if I'm honest.
Yeah. It depends if they're gross.
Love a sign, you do reserve the right not to cuddle.
Yeah.
No, our faces will do all the talking.
Yeah,
literally.
Are you going to do any sketching on the day as well?
Yeah, I'll be sort of doodling. I'm hoping to do a couple pages of issue 2 now that I've got a real deadline.
So you might actually be doing the comic actually on the day. Oh wow.
Yeah.
Oh, good. Yeah, that's a reason to see them, folks. Now that we've put pressure on them, I feel like we've been really horrible to them.
The last con, I was actually editing the script for issue 2 while we're all sat there, so we do sort of still work. It was really busy as well.
I do nothing. I sit there.
Looking pretty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you the booth babe? Is that what it is?
Yeah. That's why I wear tight clothes, just to draw people in.
We need to find out what table they're at, Tony, and just so we can stay away from it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'll be stood there with my arm in the air going cooey.
That's so fucked up. Oh, dear. And what a brilliant way to end this little interview, I think. So for people out there who want to find out more about it, where can people find the Facebook page, etc.?
On Facebook.
Yeah, mainly on Facebook.
I walked into that one.
We've got King Legacy Comic at Gmail if they want to email. Do you know the email?
Yeah, no one ever does.
Nobody ever does.
Oh, they will. Listeners, send them an email.
Make them feel important. We've got King Legacy Comic on Facebook, at King Legacy, Comic King Legacy on Twitter, and King Legacy Comic on Instagram. Keeping it dead simple.
Oh, Instagram. Nice. I haven't got an Instagram for my comic. Dan, have you got one? I know.
No.
Oh. Well, that shut me down.
I was just looking at Tanya Tate on Instagram.
Oh, Tony. Jesus, it's that time of night.
Yeah.
Yes. So there you go, folks. Check out King Legacy. There'll be a link in the show notes as well. And these lovely chaps are going to be at Leamington Comic Con, and we thoroughly recommend that you go over and chat with them. They're not afraid of physical contact, as we've established. come with our stamp of approval. So there you go. Yes.
Thank you.
Do you want any more? Do you want to send a message to the listeners? One more message before we go.
No, right.
Fuck them.
No, right.
just buy it, please.
Can't say fairer than that.
I have a mortgage. I'm 2 kids. We're all hungry.
Oh dear God! Never beg. That's what I do. Anyway, thank you very much for joining us, chaps.
Yeah, nice one, Phil.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Yeah, really good.
So there you go, folks. Winners, one and all, aren't we? Eh?
Yep.
Yeah, that's us. Nobody's a loser these days in modern society, are they?
No.
All winners.
Everyone's a winner. No.
But at the same time, you're not allowed to enjoy anything ever.
No.
Because it's rubbish and it shouldn't be done like that. That's what I pretty much pick up from social media.
I mean, it is the case with this show. If you think it's going to be shit beforehand and you listen to it, you go, yeah, you're pretty much going to be bang on the money.
Now, just briefly, we're going to touch upon it. And we almost talked about it last week, but we didn't get around to it. Obviously, Iron Fist is on Netflix at the moment. And yep. There is all the hubbub about it not being very good and the reviews, etc., etc. I know Tony's watched all of it. I'm a couple of episodes into it, as are you, Dan.
Yep, I watched two.
And yep. my opinion is... it's not this car crash that online media made it out to be. So I'm looking forward to watching the rest of it. And I know you liked it, didn't you, Tony?
I really enjoyed it. Yeah. I don't want to, like we talked about this before we came on air, didn't we? I don't want these blokes to go, it's really, really good or it's really bad or whatever. Because everyone seems to sort of set their standard by what other people say. And I put no importance in listening to film or TV reviewers anymore.
Yeah.
I just think they're out to get a movie or shit on a movie for a reason other than how good it is.
Yeah.
And I really enjoyed this series, and I don't care pretty much what anyone in the media thinks, but I think it's good.
Yeah,
you know?
That's the way it should be. You should enjoy it for what you're saying.
Exactly.
Yeah. And
it does seem to be that kind of like getting the kind of hate train going and getting how badly can we shit on something and get the site hits on my site. And
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I'll be my quote would be the damning quote of it that everyone would be reciting. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, and we've seen everyone's hating on Wonder Woman, and I think it looks fucking amazing.
Yeah.
And I will make my mind up when I see it.
Yeah. I think that's the best policy, to make your mind up when you see something. Yeah.
It was the most ridiculous fucking clickbait article I've ever seen so far in amongst our social justice warrior world that we live in, is that somebody kicked off that they hated it because she didn't have any underarm hair.
It's just fucking, I think it's ridiculous.
I read that quote, and there was three tweets, and two of the tweets from one account. So I don't know why they're running. I don't know why they're running that story.
Mm.
It's a non-story.
Yeah.
I've actually been to the made up world where she comes from. You know, the island, and I've asked them there. They all said no. They shave their armpits. So hat in your faces.
There you go.
You know.
Yeah.
Tony travels into imagination land, don't you, Tony?
I do, yeah. Special like the imagination land of the pictures I've been sending you during the show.
Oh God.
That's more of a fantasy land.
Oh.
One day Tanya Tate will come on the show, won't she? We'll talk into it. Yeah.
Oh dear God.
The show, you mean, talking into it.
Yeah. No, that's it, otherwise it's just begging.
Do you see what I have to deal with on a weekly basis, people?
Not talking to us, Dan, is he? We see exactly what he's got to put on with.
Yeah.
And he knows it.
It's weird. One thing coming on air, just before we came on, weekly there's a thing called the Comic Book Hour, at 6 o'clock. And they do one in the States on Wednesday, a bit later. They're jacking it in. They're not doing it anymore.
Really?
They're moving over to a forum. And
this is going to sound strange, but... Forums are essentially pointless now, aren't they?
I hold the same kind of thing, really. I think forums have had their day. I mean, I don't use them anymore.
Yeah.
Pointless
is overly harsh. I don't mean it like that, but...
No.
I hate them.
I mean, I've been on some where they've done a comic book production in a forum, and that can be quite handy because people jump in, look at the different roles and see what pages are coming on. But... yeah, like when you got stuff like Facebook and Twitter, and it seems to have kind of sidestepped that. I'm not sure how good an idea it is going from something where you're getting a lot of user interaction. I mean, to the point where the hashtag was trending every Sunday and Wednesday.
Yeah, I used to see it quite a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, you go into a forum and having no presence. I'm not sure about that.
Yeah. I used to go quite a lot on the 11 o'clock forum. And, you know, you used to say how many posts you had, and it sort of gave you an extra badge if you had so many and all that sort of thing. And then they tried to sort of restart it, I think, and no, there wasn't really a great uptake on it because everyone was just putting stuff on Facebook anyway.
Yeah.
You know? Like, well, there would be little point for us to have it because we get such a huge amount of interaction on Facebook around stuff, don't we? Which is really nice as well, you know, I really appreciate it. Yeah. But I don't think there would be a point in having a forum for us, would there, either, you know?
It's that thing of, like, you've got to sign up another account, you've got to do all that kind of business, and it's another site you've got to check.
It's hard work, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just like, oh.
No one needs that.
No, and it's
Tinder, you know.
Yeah. Is it Tinder or Grindr, Tony? Anyway.
I'm on both.
Well, you know, you multitask.
Yeah.
So we've got a couple of shout outs this week. First off, to kick off, and I have mentioned it on Facebook and Twitter and stuff, and I know it's been all over social media, that Bernie Wrightson passed away.
Yeah, very sad.
Weekend, and which was a very sad, because from my perspective, he is one of my favourite artists of all time. He's responsible for some absolute classic work that I don't think it goes forgotten, but I think a lot of new comics readers won't necessarily be aware of the amazing.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I mean, as soon as I posted some of the stuff that he's illustrated, Frankenstein, which is a gorgeous Dark Horse book, which is essentially the prose Frankenstein, but Bernie illustrated all of it, and those collection of illustrations, I think, is some of the finest.
Just
artwork.
Incredible, aren't they?
Just the finest artwork I've ever seen in my life.
It took him years as well. Did he? I think he did over 50 in the end, didn't he?
Yeah,
I think there's quite a few.
Real craftsman.
Yeah. I mean, it's
to me, everyone goes on about Swamp Thing. You know, everyone goes Alan Moore Swamp Thing, but they forget what a fucking revelation his work was on with Len Wein in the first 10 issues of the Volume 1. Fucking incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gorgeous stuff.
And you see the work he did on, is it Creepy and Eerie and just a lot of that stuff. I mean, he's known a lot more for his dark and horror type artwork than anything else. But you just check. Another Cycle of the Werewolf, which was Stephen King.
Probably,
just some of the best werewolf stuff you'll ever see. So, you know, we really lost.
I think people forget that he did, was it Heroes for Hope and Heroes Against Hunger, which were the sort of benefit comics they did to help hunger in Africa.
I didn't know that.
Him and Jim Starlin, I think, were big movers and shakers in getting that organised as well.
Yeah.
You know, I know Jim Starlin was often collaborated with him. He did The Weird and The Cult, Batman The Cult. And he did some Punisher with him, and those two, I think, they're the ones who pushed it forward in both DC and Marvel. You know,
he was truly, you know, I was never fortunate enough to meet the man. I know some of you listeners out there were fortunate enough, and
he did an LSCC, didn't he, a few years ago?
And you know, the overwhelming feeling is like he was an absolute gent, and it's nice to see. Like, I just put a post on the Awesome Comics Talk group on Facebook. If you're not on it, folks, join it. Just sort of to post up some of your favourite artwork of Bernie Wrightson. And there's some beautiful stuff going up there, and very personal stories from the people that are posting it as well, which is good. I think it says a lot when a creator can really give people a personal reaction to their work.
Yeah.
You know, it really felt. He was one of the ones that when I did see the first time I really experienced his work, it was when I was a lot younger, and my older brother, he had like a big hardcover sort of one of those fantasy artwork sort of books that, you know, had a collection. Dream Masters was what it was called, and it had like some classic sort of like Frank Frazetta, you know, there was a different focus on different art.
But he was a huge influence for him, wasn't he, Frazetta? I think he quite a huge influence.
And Bernie Wrightson was there, and there was like a picture of him in his studio, and like you saw some of the science fiction stuff. I think, did he do some stuff for Heavy Metal?
Yeah, he did, yeah, with Bruce Jones.
Yeah, and there was some of that, and then the but that was a, you know, you can almost say it was a life-changing moment looking at that, because you suddenly, as soon as you see a piece of artwork and you immediately decide there and then, this is actually one of my favourite artists of all time. And it was instant as soon as his artwork. So this, you know, it's very sad news, but he leaves behind quite a legacy, I think.
Funny you should say the studio there, Vince, because the studio was what he shared, didn't he? He shared a loft in Manhattan with Michael Kaluta, Barry Windsor-Smith, and Jeffrey, who was later Jeffrey Catherine Jones. Yeah. The four of them. Imagine those four people work. Some of the, our favourite, the best artists, yeah, you know, comic artists. Imagine the four of them sort of flipping ideas about. Must have been amazing, you know?
Yeah. Sad news, but it also gives us time to look back on some of his work and appreciate it once again. Yes, tinged with sadness, but you get to look at some beautiful artwork, which I think whenever you hear of any of like these classic creators, and if you're on social media, there's creators I don't necessarily know or have followed, but comic creators know them, and they'll talk about their passing, and then you check out their work. I think it really pays to check out, you know, people's influences and see, because you never know what you're going to discover. And so sad news, but he will be missed.
Yeah.
So there you go. Cool. That's my shout out for the week.
Yeah. Shall I do a couple?
Yeah,
go for it.
Paperbacks and Ink Stains, which is the collected edition of the collected Paper Cuts and Ink Stains. It's on Kickstarter. There's some great stuff in it. The Maddius guys are all on form. And also the Mighty Gibster, I believe, is in there. Not so it'll be interesting to see. I got a little peek at some of his work last year. It looks really good. So go to Kickstarter and have a look at that. And also, just a thank you to everyone who went to my blog, neverironanything.blogspot.com, give it a pimp, and read No More Cats, which is another sort of shouty rant. which I quite enjoyed writing. There's another one coming the end of this week.
Nice.
I won't spoil it, but thanks a lot to everyone.
I remember reading that, and like Ken Reynolds, I believe, said on Facebook that he thought that I would be upset about that post because it's about cats, and one of my ideas for later in the year is and does have a cat in it. But as Tony said, he completely cleared it out. Cleared it up because you said, "Oh, Vince's cat has a job."
Yeah, not you. It's not on the goal. The bit I like is where you said, because in it, where I went, I don't hate cats because I like mouse, and there's cats in that. And you said that was one of your favourite bits, which made me chuckle.
Because I thought, what a fucking
dog. They're the Nazis.
Yeah, they're the Nazis. But definitely check out those two articles that Tony's put up.
Yeah.
Thank you,
mate. Succinct and on point.
Yeah.
I'm really pleased with the number and the reaction we've got. It's been really good. No one has just gone, "Oh, you're a wanker," which was what I was fully expecting. You know, everyone said you're a wanker because, which I think is quite, you know.
Right. Yeah.
There you
go. But they're written in as a sort of a character.
Like they are, yeah. Yeah.
Hyper real Tony and not like real life Tony.
Oh, a hyper real Tony. Just picture that. Oh,
that's
a David Cronenberg creation. Gibster, we need a hyper real Tony, please.
Daniel, have you got any shouts?
No, I was just mentioning that comic book hour. It's not really a kind of shout out.
Okay.
There is the Renard City Kickstarter. I think it's got a precious few days to run on it. If you've got any money, we'll happily take it. There's some good rewards on offer. But I think it's lacking quite behind the target. So fingers crossed that it kind of picks up. But yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Good night.
There's so many Kickstarters about these days, aren't we? Aren't there?
Yeah.
Everyone's spoilt for choice.
Mm.
I did see one. I won't name any names for it. It's not anyone we know, don't worry. But I saw it and I thought, oh, this looks nice. And it was a collection of some webcomic. And it was a $5 pledge, the initial one. The first pledge you see was $5, and that was the thank you pledge.
That's bullshit.
Yeah.
Fucking $5. do you know what I mean, though? Just for a thank you. Oh, come on. Do you know what I mean? You can't.
$5.
That's just. Yeah. No wonder they make their target quickly if they're ripping off people like that.
Buy yourself a pint and say, "Oh, that's him thanking me."
Anyway, that's a shout out. Should we recommend some comics to people?
Yeah. Who's going to have an. Shall I go in first?
As you can tell, we're really excited about this bit.
So I was on mute accidentally. Sorry about that.
Oh, dear.
We were doing
Dan.
Like a kind of issue one kind of themed show that didn't really go anywhere. So I've got from TSP 4 Comics, mature only. It's called Legend, Hell's Executioner. And I saw this pop up in the ICC group, Independent Comics Connection. Is that on Facebook once again?
Yeah.
And essentially, it's a character named John Legend. I've not heard that surname before. I presume it's still kind of...
Isn't John Legend a pop singer?
I don't know.
Yeah.
You tell me, man. But essentially, it's a comic. This character dies and becomes like an enforcer in hell, trying to stop people escaping the dimension. And essentially, you think, oh, that's kind of been done before. But what makes it interesting, there's a cast of characters from out the ages, like Vlad the Impaler, Cleopatra, that kind of get involved and talk to the main character. And the interactions and kind of the ideas going on. There's some really nice stuff going on. The artwork's really nice. It's interesting. They've got several artists. There's two artists. One does the front half and some of the back, and then another artist take over for the final pages. And there's several different colorists as well. It's really interesting. And the cover art is by John Howard. And we all know him.
We like his stuff, yeah.
Yeah. Which is really nice. I'd recommend checking out this comic. It's a good read. It's, to be honest, I kind of bought it thinking, do you remember a web comic article a couple of months ago about saying about characters from hell?
Yeah.
I was just wondering, is this going to fall into that trope? And it does a little bit, but I'd honestly say it redeems itself and it's got a lot of stuff going for it. I can't remember where I purchased it from. I think I contacted the chap, John Daniel Taylor IV, on Facebook, and he pointed me in the right direction. Tell his web address, topsecretpress.com, and check it out there.
Cool.
Yeah, so that's my recommendation for this week.
Nice. Do you want to go next, Tanya, or shall I?
Okay, I can go next, yeah. Go for it. I looked at one that got sent in, actually, very kindly by the creators, and it's called Flirting with Death.
Ah, yes.
And it's a 76-page full-colour anthology. Have you guys had a chance yet to read it? Or
no, I've not seen this one.
I haven't read it properly, but it does look great.
Really interesting ideas in it. It's written and created by, excuse me for this, Rudra Perkasa. I'll spell that in a minute. It's illustrated by Lyndon White and Paulina Vasileva. The cover's by Lyndon White, who's, I know he's a listener, and he's a great artist, Lyndon. Really like his stuff.
Currently got a Kickstarter... for Dracula.
Mm. Yeah. Mm. Yeah, very, very interesting sort of fold out kind of thing, isn't it?
Yeah, beautiful stuff.
Yeah, this is sequential. It's dedicated to those without a voice. And there's a series of stories, tonally very unusual. I'm going to say they're sort of philosophical, theological, but not with a heavy sort of God-bothering aspect to them. They're sort of... There's a fantastical sort of legendary sort of axis thing to it. The first one is called The Little Bird, and it's about the lords Vishnu, the protector, and Shiva, the destroyer. And they meet on top of a sort of snowy mountain behind a magical door. And they're taken there by an eagle called Garuda, who is actually a character within Hindu mythology or Hindu religion. And there's a conversation that occurs at the top of this mountain. And it's done really well. It's got this real sort of... because it's set in the snow on the top of a mountain... The words are all very crisp, and the atmosphere is very sort of palpable of where they're sitting and talking to each other. And he sort of manipulates the reader, or Rudra and Lyndon manipulate the reader very well with this. Really gorgeously told, and with a really interesting ending. I Googled, because I thought, I wonder these characters. As you know, I'm not a very religious person, but I thought, I'll Google some of these characters. And I found that a lot of them are... Even down to the eagle, a sort of actual Hindu characters. Very, very interesting. The second one's called Cosmic Fish, and it's about it's hard to tell a story of what it's about, but it's looking at a fish in a puddle, and the fish grows, and the fish becomes more and more sort of... It's almost like an infinite loop of the fish becoming bigger, taking over the world, then returning to its size. And it's really interesting. Very, very clever. Simon Lundy, another story about sort of endless series of events. That's by Rudra and Lyndon again. Red on the Plains of Sinai, which is Rudra and Paulina. it's just this sort of, I don't know how you describe it. It's full of absolutely really interesting ideas, and it's a book that will stay with you. It plays about with the ideas in some really interesting ways. Ideas that are clearly part of a religion. It's almost like a meditation on an idea, really, each chapter, and it explores it in some sort of quite intriguing ways. Visually, just stunning. Both the artists just do some great work on it, and it's got some really interesting design work between the stories, and the opening pages to as well as the cover. The opening pages have got sort of great designs onto them. It's if you go to rudraworld.com, which is RUDRAworld.com, or if you go to Lyndon's site, which is www.lyndonwhite.com. And you can buy them at Travelling Man in Manchester. And I spoke to Lyndon the other day, and he is doing some conventions. I think he's doing Thought Bubble and a couple of others. Try and get a copy of it. Really, really interesting. And it's called Flirting with Death. There you go, that's my one.
Nice. Great stuff. Awesome. Thank you very much for sending it in. Brilliant.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Yeah, I really enjoyed that.
I'll check that out this week.
Yeah.
My pick, my recommendation for this week came from when I popped to Big Old London.
Oh, what on you?
Yeah, I went
the big smoke.
Yeah, the big smoke, where all the posh people live. Is that what it is? all the chimney stacks. It was like that Taboo or whatever that program is. Lots of Tom Hardys everywhere. No, I ventured into Orbital, naturally poking my head into the independent comic section, and I picked up Chicken Boy Zine by James Howard. Either of you heard about this? You might have seen.
No.
It.
No. Yeah.
James Artworks. It's more like a collection of illustrations, sort of one-page illustrations. It's published by Good Comics, and the basic premise is this. The Chicken Boy zine, and it collects 68 of James Howard's full-page illustrations of his strange and popular character, Chicken Boy. A grotesque yet strangely relatable character, Chicken Boy's intricate world is brought to life in this unique collection. Join him as he searches for meaning in a world of sublime beauty and get nostalgic for optimism. Ah, oh, we're all nostalgic for that, aren't we?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember those days.
When we used to look forward to things.
Yeah, like TV series on Netflix without fucking panning it before it came on.
Yeah. Now I've been aware of James's artworks for a while because I've seen him post these sort of illustrations, one page illustrations, and he's been doing them for a few years. This strange and weird character who's he's got a body that's like an egg, but he's got like real sort of stick insect like legs. He's got three eyes. He's got a mullet and a strange sort of mouth that's like a circle of sharp teeth. And he wears sort of t-shirts that don't quite fit him. He's got saggy man boobs, and he goes around everywhere on his adventures with an actual chicken.
Nice.
And basically, this collection, as I won't read it all out, but Tony James puts a brilliant sort of intro into it, which basically sets up that it all started when illustrator Tony Johnson posted on Twitter. He wanted to do a Halloween collaboration with artists. So he drew a background, and the artist then sort of designed characters to fill it. So James created Chicken Boy and just put it into a background. Now, after he submitted that, he then liked the character so much, he put him in different projects. And in the end, he pushed it a bit more and pushed it a bit more and was doing different sort of illustrations. And he got a bit of a cult following. So he just kept drawing sort of different one-page sort of scenarios. And this is a collection of it, which launched in Thought Bubble, I believe, last year. And it's a lovely little book, all black and white. Nice printing by Iconic Printing UK, I believe. Yeah, good lad there. And it is literally sort of different one-page scenarios of this character and his friend moving through this strange woodland and sort of a wild world. And he's just doing things like, you know, just changing a tape. He's got an old-school tape. None of this MP3 player nonsense, and he's fighting sort of barracudas underwater, or you know, he's surrounded by butterflies or there's strange creatures that are going to attack him, or he's climbing a mountain, or he's lost something in the woods, or he's fallen. There's loads of different sort of situations. But even though they're quite sort of different, I did find, as I was reading it, it almost flowed. Like it was one person's journey through this strange forest. And it's got a great sort of sense of, it's got a great sense of humour as well. Because like there's one where they're him and the chicken, both of them talk. they're sitting in this dark cave, and he says, "I don't want to die in a cave." And the chicken responds, "We all have dreams." and one of the other things I loved about it is his t-shirts change on like every page, and some of them like made me laugh out loud. Like there's one where he's just sat on the edge of a mountain looking over this vast lake. There's strange spiders with skulls on their backs like approaching him from behind, but it made me laugh out loud because on the back of his t-shirt it's just got written the words "hot bucket of fuck." and he's got like messages like "louder than the yawn" written on his t-shirt. There's so many random things. One of them is actually nostalgic for optimism, which would be brilliant on a t-shirt. I feel like I really want that on a t-shirt. I cough in the face of fear, which made me laugh. A lot of these t-shirts I actually want. And it's great. And like I certainly, when you see like one of the illustrations, it's quirky and it's unusual. It's certainly, you've never seen a character design like this, but he's got such a wonderful line work and it's intricately detailed, like the woodlands and the mountains and stuff. I can imagine if he's done these on A3, they must be beautiful pieces of original artwork. And it's got a real nice sense of humour. And at the back, this is another thing. When I finished reading the book, the last thing it says is, "Dedicated to the photocopier at work. You're a piece of shit, but we got it done." Yeah. Which I think sums it up. I mean, some of you out there will probably follow James's work because he's at The Mooks on Twitter, which is the MOOKS. You can pick up the book in Orbital on their shelves if that's your local, for £7. It was one of those ones that I picked it up, flicked through it, and I sort of put it down, walked away, and I couldn't get it out of my head. Have you ever had that? You know, and you just have to come, but you just think, right, no, I need to get this.
Yeah.
And I'm thoroughly glad I did. It's a great, great little book. You could say it's a quick read because there's no script, but a long read because you'll stare at the pages and all of the wonderful detail he's put in it. So, and it's the Chicken Boy Zine. I've noticed that he hasn't called it like an actual story, because it is a collection of his artworks. But you can also find it from goodshop.bigcartel.com, which I'm guessing is the Big Cartel for Good Comics, who we're hearing a lot more of these days. I think they're going to be at Leamington, aren't they?
Oh, are they? Okay.
I think Good Comics might be. So so if they are, you might be able to pick up a copy there, which I thoroughly recommend. As soon as you open it, you'll know exactly what I mean. As soon as you open it, how unusual and original it is.
It was MCM this weekend, wasn't it?
Yeah.
MCM Birmingham, wasn't
MCM
it?
MCM Birmingham, and I think a lot of people did. They had quite a fun weekend, didn't they?
Yeah, I saw Rachel Smith tweeted about it because she went to the Billy Piper panel, and somebody asked Billy Piper, "Why do you have to play that song so loud?"
Oh God!
And what did she answer? Because I want to.
Yeah, I think fuck off.
She's changed, Billy Piper.
There was someone else, I can't remember the creator, but they said they did really, really well.
Oh, okay.
Good. So it seems to be MCM's the one that people
with more
money than sense go to.
It's a shame that it's so hateable.
Yeah.
Well, I think
it's like going into an old school arcade, but like dialed up to 11.
Yeah.
For 8 hours on the trot.
People trying to hug you and stuff.
I'd like to try it one day. I'd like to have a table there. I haven't done it.
Yeah.
So I'd like
to. You should do, mate. You do well with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, one fine day. Right now, I just got to hope I survive Leamington with you all day.
You'll be fine.
Yeah. Oh, while I think about conventions, I think for anyone who's going to New York this year, the email, I think today is the deadline. If you were there last year and you're a verified ticket holder, which I think you had to be to get in if you booked your tickets last year. If you want a ticket, an early ticket this year, you have to be verified by today. So check your emails, because there's a tab on an email they send you. You've got to press, and if you haven't pressed it, you can't get an early ticket. I got mine yesterday. So
is that verified by Sunday or Monday?
I think it might be Monday, but it's fucking. Right. They're doing it again. They're just making it stupid, complicated again. Yeah. I just want to go to a website and buy a ticket. I don't want to like do this stupid fucking verify. Then they send you a link. Then you go in a queue. Then you buy your ticket. And then when you buy your ticket, you got to verify it. And it's like, fuck's sake.
Do you think they try and do that to get around scalpers?
I think they do. Yeah. Yeah. I think that's genuinely what they do. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. It's a shame, isn't it?
Because that seems to be a big problem nowadays with just like. They just have these spam like links or whatever, and they buy up fucking 2/3 of the tickets for a gig or a venue or something.
Yeah.
And fucking rack up the prices.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's a shame, isn't it? Yeah, it's just that New York just becomes. I mean, I've been to them all now. I don't want to think I deserve to get a ticket, but I just kind of think I have been. This will have been the 11th one in a row, whatever it is. You know, I could do with just like being sent a link I could buy a ticket on.
Yeah, you know? Fair enough.
Yeah.
Life
you're doing the long con.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
So when they send you that link, you buy like 50 tickets.
Yeah. Yeah, isn't it? Yeah. I think they're only selling tickets per day, so you have to buy, I think it's $50 a day for a ticket or something.
Fucking hell.
Seems a bit much. Yeah.
That's a few quid, isn't it? Or a few dollars.
Isn't it? Yeah.
Bloody hell.
Yeah.
Considering a lot of, you know, conventions, you're paying a ticket to go in and spend money.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
It kind of boggles my mind the price of some of them. But
that's what fucks me off. Going about Amazon Prime. Just like you're basically hiring a rental service into your fucking home.
Yeah.
I've gone on about Amazon Prime several times on this show. It annoys me.
But you get free.
All you get to watch is Vikings out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I've got.
But you say, oh, look at this great fucking stuff. You can look at all this great fucking stuff. Oh, really? We'll watch that. And then you click on all the stuff that's included with Prime and not the stuff you have to pay extra for. And it's like, oh, there's not that much.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Anyway, yeah. Sorry. I get off that, the soapbox about exactly Amazon Prime.
It's on Prime.
Yeah.
Also sponsored by Netflix.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, folks, like looking at that Batman, like watching the year one, part one. So, oh, great. It's gone to part two. Ain't on there.
Oh, isn't it?
You wankers.
The thing I noticed about Iron Fist, it wasn't downloadable. It wasn't on the downloadable Netflix, was it?
Oh, really?
Which I thought was.
I don't understand that.
Why would they do that?
Yeah, what's the difference?
Who knows? It's madness.
Fuck knows.
Yeah.
Anyone from Netflix listening?
Yeah.
Send an email to the usual address. There's no one fucking from Netflix.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyone from Netflix? I hope you're having a good time bathing in your cash.
Yeah.
Look.
Scrooge McDuck style vault swimming around.
We love all our listeners, don't we? Yeah.
Well, most of them. Yeah.
Most of them. But you listening there, yes, you. We love you the most. And if you want to get in touch and let us know what you thought of this episode and how good that segue was.
Yeah.
Which was, please write in.
It's not one of my best. But, you know, I do what I can with what I've got. That's how I live my life. But you can email us, awesomecomicspod@gmail.com. Likewise, tony.awesomecomicspod@gmail.com. Thank you for all the books that have been sent there. We truly appreciate it. There's lots more to come. You can follow us on Twitter at @theawesomepod, where we'll probably be talking about Leamington most of this week, won't we?
Most of you'll make me look like Bill Oddie.
Yeah. Yeah, you're clearly the Oddie.
I clearly am God in that, am I? Yeah.
But next week's episode is just going to be the three of us. So
yeah.
It's a three amigos show, so look forward to that.
Good.
Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/awesomecomicspodcast. And if you're a listener, join our group, Awesome Comics Talk, because there's fantastic conversation going there. Like, creators are asking for advice. People just talking about great books. Mm. It's not just full of spam telling you to buy this, that, or the other.
Yeah, it is good, actually. Yeah, we've stopped getting the, oh, my Kickstarter's out, please. You know, we get some decent, at least people say, what would you like in a Kickstarter? By the way, I've got a Kickstarter out. Yeah.
Exactly. So, and thank you for listening to us, whether it was on the website awesomecomics.podbean.com. If you listen to us on iTunes, thank you very much. Leave us a review. Well, leave us a review no matter where you heard us. If there's a review option, give us a nice review. Helps get the word out. Thank you for listening on Stitcher and the Podnose Network. And where can people find us online and beyond, gents? Who wants to go first?
I'll go. EzoYes on Twitter, E-Z-O-H-Y-Z. Down the tubes. I've got something coming out Tuesday, which is quite an interesting thing I've worked on with John and Dave Broughton, which is looking good. Yeah. And neverindanything.blogspot.com if you want to just hear me being angry. There you go.
Nice. Dan, what about you?
You can find me on Twitter at Vanguard Comic, and you can read Vanguard at vanguardcomic.com.
Oh, you slowed down on that one,
sir. Yeah, I brought it down.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that one.
But then again, you've been quite active today and you're quite tired, aren't you?
Yeah, I did some walking.
Oh, well, that'd get you every time.
Yeah.
Me and Tony don't do that. We've got like tandem segways, haven't we?
We did this walk where we had to like walk around this kind of village country pass, and we had to find these eggs hanging on, like little cutouts of eggs hanging on trees. And we got to 25. I thought we're going to get 30, and we'll fucking be done at this.
Yeah.
And I said to my wife, "How many are these?" 92. Fucking hell.
This sounds like my favourite thing ever. I'll just follow you around and watch your nonsense. I quite like that. Yeah.
I was like, Jesus.
Just watching the enthusiasm bleed out of him. Egg 64.
At that point, it was just like opening up an archery. When like, I was just crumpled on the spot.
Oh, dear. Next time, you'll have to take like a recorder with you so we can like get some audio.
Yeah.
Right. I just had a new follower on Twitter called Cage !! And it's at the man Cage. I thought that's cool. It's like something to do with Luke Cage. No, he's from Birmingham in England. No, it's probably not Luke Cage, is it?
Yeah.
But he's following you, Tony, so he's obviously got good taste.
Well, yeah. Terrible taste. Yeah.
You can follow me at Jester Diablo, and you can find out more about my comic at theredmaskfrommars.com. And you'll probably be seeing a bit more of my work in the near future with Comic House, but I'll say a bit more of that when it comes out later in the month. Thanks to the guys from King Legacy for joining us for the interview.
Yeah. Thanks, chaps.
Jay, congratulations, Liam, and to them. Dave. Yep, well done for winning, and we look forward to catching up with you at Leamington. It's gonna be a cracking time. So I always feel weird, like, recording on the Sunday, knowing that we've got a convention the next week. Seems so far away, yet so near.
It does, doesn't it? I'm not ready at all.
Yeah. I mean, you're not ready.
I was born ready, obviously, but well, you know.
Yeah. Crackerjack timing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. And with crackerjack timing, it's time for us to go. So have a brilliant week, folks. Support your small press comics. Read loads. Have a great weekend. If you're going to Leamington, stop by and say hi. Because we really look forward to seeing
please
you.
Do. We'd love to see you.
Yeah. And hang around for our panel.
And come to our panel. We're not sure what time it is, but it's going to be pretty sexy.
It is. Yeah. It is. It's going to be a good one.
Is it the usual pork pie rule?
Should we have the pork pie rule?
Yeah. Anyone who includes the word pork pie into a sensibly put question stands a chance of winning a prize that I shall get on the day, but I haven't found out what it is yet. But
the more subtle, the better.
Yeah, nice little prize for you.
Yeah, Tom Curry was sublime last time.
Yeah, he was spot on.
Yeah, so there you go. Who knows what next week will hold for us, but wherever it's going to be an awesome show, as always. And we'll see you there. So have a brilliant week and stay awesome, folks. See ya.
See ya.
Yeah.
Well, wasn't that fantastic? Hey,
brilliant! Absolutely brilliant.
I'm vamping.
I didn't realise you're going to be so enthusiastic when you did. I'm going to fake pretend we've just finished the interview.
Tony, fuck sake! Like, cut, cut, cut! I'm not having this.
You can stick that at the end.
Well, there you go, folks. That was a chat with the guys from King Legacy. And
yep,
wasn't it wonderful?
Yep.
Oh, actually, yep. And they're trying to call me now.
To do the interview.
No, we haven't done yet.
This is fucking chaos. Oh, well, that'd do it every time. So can you hear us all clearly now?
Yes, you are much less robotic.
Excellent. Oh, brilliant.
Which is I preferred it the other way, to be honest.
Oh, you like robots, do you? Oh, Jesus.
They always seem to keep coming up on the show.
What? Robots? Well,
sex
and robots, and invariably about having sex with them.
What? Do you all always think about having sex with robots, Dan?
No, I've said they always end up on the show. We always end up talking about them. I'm not knocking it.
I'd have sex with a robot.
You'd like to.
Depends what the robot was. Personally, I go for Robin Williams in Bicentennial Man.
Jesus.
I bet he'd be caring.
Yeah. He would. He'd look after me, you see.
Thunder. Kind and considerate.
I'm planning ahead.
Right. Yeah. He'd mop the map of Africa up afterwards, wouldn't he? I just pulled a box file out from behind a wall bit I've got here, and in it was an issue of Trough Prophet. That's cool, isn't it?
Yeah.
Made by Knight.
Which one? The new the series
Stephen
or
Platt.
The Stephen Platt?
The original one.
Oh, Pouch Heaven.